Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to our New Year's Eve edition of the Three Martini Lunch, the final in our series of year-end awards of best, worst, most, maybe even a couple of least in there, who knows, but basically chronicling the year in politics and in a couple other areas in the year 2012. This final edition, our most prestigious awards, a Person of the Year and Turncoat of the Year, and we'll wrap it up with our 2013 New Year's resolution. So, Jim, I'm sure you're already counting down till the ball drop at midnight tonight, but let's start with your Person of the Year. We know Time Magazine went with President Obama. I'm sure they're up late thinking of that one. So who did you go with?
You really want to go by the simple, who influenced the news the most in the past year. I think, you know, Obama is a fine pick. I mean, certainly any year the president's going to have a big influence on it. But as folks on the right, I want to focus on one symbol of the right and of conservatism and of traditional values that did not fail us this year. This simple, beloved icon suddenly became the focus of criticism and mockery and sneering, the target of out-of-control politicians who believed they had become dictators whose mere whims could set policies and drive the undesirables out of business. And, Greg, when I think of resistance against the runaway Leviathan and the petty vendettas and demagoguery of Democratic politicians, I can think of only one choice that will indisputably stand the test of time if I had not eaten it. And that is the Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's my sandwich of the year. I admit it was an unexpectedly close contest with the 32-ounce soda that will soon be banned in New York. So Chick-fil-A sandwich, stand up and – well, okay, you can't stand up, but you know. I am proud of this sandwich. It has never let me down. It has always had tastiness to it. And it was put to me on election, shortly after Election Day, this great frustration amongst folks on the right and somebody who'd worked in the Romney campaign and said, look, if you waited three hours online for a Chick-fil-A sandwich, but you didn't show up to vote for Mitt Romney, I want to punch you in the face. And I said, you know, I completely understand that sentiment, but I will point out that if you stand online for 3 hours at Chick-fil-A, you get a chicken sandwich. It's a very tasty one. Stand in line to vote for Mitt Romney, what do you get? So so that was my nomination for the inanimate object news symbol of the year.
Very nicely done. Yours is far more inspiring than mine, so I'm going to applaud yours here for a moment because I think that was an excellent choice. Americans rising up, not just those on the side of traditional marriage, but those who want government to get out of the face of those who have personal beliefs in the business world, and government's attempted heavy-handedness and really knee-jerk reaction to pretty simple comments in a radio interview. Very impressive grassroots display. And mine is the 2012 voter, and that is not a compliment. Those are the people, at least a slim majority of them in the presidential race, who thought that huge deficits, nah, that's okay, who thought that high unemployment, consistently, well, I guess that's about as good as we're going to do. Who just thought that America bouncing along the bottom, as we've described it, well, I guess that's okay. And who just decided that we were doing well enough when we weren't doing well at all. Those who decided that getting stuff from the government was better than growing our way out of government dependency. You are my person of the year. Don't take a bow. Go away and try to think again about what you should have done in November, because the longer this goes on, the uglier it's going to get for all of us. There are many different factors at play here, but ultimately, anyone who thought that the last 4 years were good enough or that what Obama was peddling, which was more the same for another 4 years, was the right course for America, I just fail to see it.
You know, for the last 2 years, we'd spend, you know, whenever Harry Reid was in the news, we would say, way to go, Nevada, way to go. We're going to have to adjust that to way to go 51.5 or whatever percentage President Obama got in the popular vote when all the votes are counted there. That's deservedly so, and probably you're right. You know, talking about who influenced the news the most, I think, you know, for this year and for the next 4 years, that that choice will fit. Now, in our next category, there's one so obvious one. I'm going to let you go first just so I can have my second one go, just in case you don't go with what strikes me as a glaringly obvious choice.
Yeah, I think you probably know where I'm going with this one. And the award goes to Turncoat of the Year. I could maybe modify it by saying gigantic disappointment of the year, but I think Turncoat still applies to some extent.
Yeah,
I've already mentioned him before in one of these martinis for worst idea, and this is Chief Justice John Roberts, a guy who had had a fairly consistent voting record. If you listen to the oral arguments on Obamacare, it was clear that he was on the Constitution side, which was not on Obamacare's side. He initially sided with the other four conservative to moderate justices for a 5-4 decision. It was pretty clear that whether it was from one of the justices or one of the clerks or whatever, that word got back to the White House. They came out with this offensive, disgusting public relations campaign to try and pressure one of the justices to flip. Sadly, it was the Chief Justice himself. He came up with this tortured explanation of Obamacare as a tax. It was obvious this thing should have been struck down based on the Commerce Clause and so many other things, especially, as I mentioned with the previous Martini on the worst idea, that the administration insisted over and over again this wasn't a tax. So for the Chief Justice to read that in there only to preserve this leviathan of big government that's unconstitutional, he's a runaway winner in my book.
You know, and the only way we can say he's a winner of this year, Greg, obviously I think John Roberts would have been my selection, but sensing we should have more than one,
yes.
I'm going to give kind of a special honorable mention to former Florida Governor Charlie Crist, who, look, no one is terribly surprised by this, but this was a guy who, when Marco Rubio started gaining traction in the Senate primary in 2010, went on Fox News Sunday and asked by Chris Wallace and said, look, I am a Republican. I am a proud Republican. I am not going to leave this party. You know, pretty definitive. And then within like 3 weeks had left, decided he was going to run as an independent. Even then, you know, like the whole line of questioning from Chris Wallace was designed to pin him down on this. He manages to not get pinned down on this, runs, loses to Marco Rubio, has been increasingly bitter about it ever since. He really is, you know, you can see the specterization of him day by day. And so then he obviously spoke at the Democrats convention this year. Really kind of intriguing to see like Florida Democrats who had demonized him as everything they opposed, standing up and applauding him just because he had now said, oh, no, I'm a Democrat now. Mitt Romney's terrible. Marco Rubio. I mean, look, what the biggest sin of Marco Rubio in Charlie Crist's eyes has nothing to do with his policy perspectives. It has everything to do with the fact that he interfered with Charlie Crist's ambitions.
Absolutely.
And of course, Charlie Crist formally changed his party, is expected to run for governor again as a Democrat in 2014. But he managed to do so. He brought his voter registration change, you know, forms to the White House. Now, he's registered to vote in Florida. So, like, he has to go. It's not just to change your party. You got to make a whole big ceremony. I did it in the White House of President Obama, la-di-da, you know. He shouldn't have an R or a D after his name. It should just say P. Because, look, we've seen party switchers before. You know, your Jim Jeffords, your Archer Davis, and folks like that. But I kind of struck, but like, there's a certain astounding level of shamelessness there that I think really does deserve some sort of award in Charlie Crist. So, and it's worth noting, I remember John J. Miller writing an article that was very critical of him way back in like 2007 or early 2008. Basically, said he was a very overrated governor. So, kudos to everybody who saw Charlie Crist coming, and indeed he is a well deserves the moniker Turncoat of the Year.
Well, hopefully his party switch Machiavellian streak meets with the same success as Arlen Specter's party switch with the Senate seat back in 2010, and he gets crushed in the primary. And well, however it happens, I hope it works out to Rick Scott's advantage in his reelection fight. But on to the final Martini of the Year, Jim. It's been a long, strange year, but finally, our resolution for 2013. Go ahead.
I'm going to reveal a bit of news that I've kind of alluded to here and there in NRO and the newsletters and other things. But I don't have ever formally announced it and clarified it. I am under contract with Random House to write a book. It is a comic novel about the federal bureaucracy. I've been working on it for the better part of a year. And the first draft is due at the end of January. Now, I've learned a lot. It's been greatly invigorating and liberating to write fiction. When you think, look back over my reporting career and the mistakes I've made, I should clarify, intentional fiction. One of the less great lessons of this has, don't agree to write a novel in a presidential election year when you are a presidential election correspondent. It's been definitely a squeeze of time, but I feel confident that I will make the deadline. The tentative title is The Weed Agency. It is based on the real-life federal interagency working group on invasive species abatement, a very common federal – I'm sure everybody out there knows all about it. It's a real-life group of federal agencies that deal with invasive species, which is weeds and bugs and critters and anything else that can come across and wreak havoc with our agriculture and ecosystems and all that stuff. And it just seems like a perfect metaphor of the federal bureaucracy, this small group designed to fight weeds that now involves 30 different federal agencies, including NASA, the space program. I guess they're on the lookout for these evil space pod plants that come along and take people and stuff. So basically, it's a story of how the federal bureaucracy grows and why it is so difficult to fight. Hopefully funny, probably arriving on bookstore shelves. I was hoping for 2013, but Random House is seemingly enthusiastic about a spring 2014 release date. So hopefully that'll mean I get a little more time to work on it than through the end of January. So my resolution is to make my deadline and to make it a good novel. And hopefully by, you know, either end of next year or beginning of the following year, I'll be able to say to people, hey, come buy my, not just my nonfiction book now available to find Reminder Bins everywhere, but buy my novel now available at Barnes & Noble and wherever fine books are sold.
Ah, absolutely. And hopefully it's a raging success. I look forward to reading it. I know it'll be very entertaining. And I'm sure it'll lead to the Weed Agency too, even Weedier or something like that.
Eat your Wheaties, yes. Yeah.
Well, my resolution, once again, I should have had Jim go last on all of these because he's far more upbeat and optimistic. But mine, I guess, in some ways is optimistic. Mine is not exactly earth-shattering or unthought of before, but that's to keep fighting the good fight. After the election results, after the clear distinction between the political philosophies and seeing, as we've already talked about earlier in this segment, over 50% of the American people choose what we would consider the very wrong choice for the next 4 years. It's easy to just kind of settle into the attitude, and we've had it a little bit here in terms of the fiscal cliff debate, is just let it burn. You people had your chance, you know, and you made your own bed. Now you got to lie in it, and good luck to you. But this is the country we live in. This is the country we love. And as a result of that, despite the fact that 51% of the American people made a wretched decision that's going to come back to haunt them over the next 4 years and probably much longer than that, the imperative to continue to fight for what's right in this country, to fight for what America was founded upon, what America still should and for many people still stands for, and absolutely for those coming behind us, despite the discouragement, I will vow to fight on for what is right and what America needs to pursue. Jim, I hope
Greg, I
can
those
do
that. Those are great resolutions to not despair and to resist the urge to arson. That's the shorter and succincter version. And yes, I hope every listener out there can keep those resolutions as well.
Absolutely. Jim, it's been a great year. We'll pick it up again on the second.
I foresee big, good things in 2013, Greg, and kind of hard to beat this year.
I hope so. There's
kind of hard to not beat this year, come to think of it.
Yes, there needs to be a lot more really, truly good martinis next year. Jim, have a wonderful new year. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Have a wonderful and safe new year, everyone. And we will see you on Wednesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.